Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear fellow redeemed, purchased soul and body from the slave market, not that you would be made slaves again, but children of the Heavenly Father, ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Well, as you've noticed, even if you haven't heard me say so, our sermons for this year are going to be based on our epistle lessons, and many of these epistles are going to be taken from the letters of Paul to the Corinthians, both the first and second letter. And so we'll be learning a little bit about Corinth as we move along, and today, we're not going to go into a lot of depth. I'll just mention that Corinth especially was known for its degenerate moral climate. Anything goes in Corinth. And it was so degenerate that even the pagans would talk about it as being a degenerate place. And one of the worst things you could say about somebody if he was a slave to the vices of the flesh is to say, that guy's a regular Corinthian. Now, I don't know whether we can say that the western suburbs have descended to the point of Corinth in our corruption, in our dedication to vice. But there are enough parallels in our society to be instructive as we consider God's words to us through these letters of Paul. The thing about today's text, and this is a very serious parallel with what's going on in our world today, is that many in the church were involved in the sexual practices of their culture, and we're justifying them with these phony slogans of pop philosophy. And the reality is, and this is the key starting point we have to understand, a person just can't live in the sins of the flesh like that without a corresponding set of beliefs. And those beliefs are inconsistent with Christian faith. So that a person who is living like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so that was a pretty serious problem here in Corinth among these people who were supposed to be Christians. Supposed to be freed from death, sin, and hell. And now were becoming slaves again to it, to the point where, yes, they would be lost everlastingly unless something would change, unless they would repent. And in our day and age, Christians, the church, struggling with some of these same issues. And I'll sum it up this way. Don't give up the faith over some phony slogans. We are God's, not gods. And if you looked at your bulletin, you know what I'm saying. We're gods with an apostrophe, yes. We belong to Him. We're not gods ourselves, belonging to ourselves, owning ourselves. And because we are gods with the apostrophe, yes, we belong to Him. As Christians, we honor Him, both body and soul. Now, Paul makes the stakes abundantly clear in the verses just leading up to our text. He says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." That's there for us all to hear. Let it sink in. Those who live like this are lost forever. Because you can't live like this and have a set of beliefs that is in harmony with the gospel. And of course, he is talking about people who live like this as opposed to the Christians who are repentant, who renounce these things, even if they've fallen into them. And how do we know that he's not saying these sins are unforgivable? Well, because he goes on and then says, this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Yeah, you were in bondage to these things, but not anymore. You've been forgiven. You've been freed. We need to understand that those who live in persistent impenitence have fallen from the faith because they live like this. I have a question on my confirmation test, and it's like so many of the questions there, it's meant to also spark discussion. True or false? A man and a woman living together intimately without marriage will be lost in hell if they refuse to repent. Well, the answer is true. And what happens is you end up saying, a Christian ends up saying, I end up saying sometimes to people who live that way and will not repent, if you do not repent, I can only tell you that if you were to die today, you would be lost forever. And I'm not going to take the time today to go over that list of transgressions. This isn't the place for it. That's why we have Bible classes for different in ages and situations. But it's enough to point out a couple things. First of all, notice not everything there as listed as a sin of the flesh was a sexual sin. You know, people who like to feel themselves ever so superior because they don't live like that. But what about gossip? What about swindling? What about greed? It's important to understand that when we become consumed with any of these sins of the flesh, to the point that we will not repent, we justify them, we excuse them. We dance out the latest pop psychology or pop philosophy to justify them. That just isn't consistent with Christian faith, and Christian faith is then lost. The problem is the unbelief, you see, that enables such a way of life. Think about what somebody is really saying when they brush aside God's word and they say, well, my girlfriend and me, we just have decided to live this way. And I don't really care what you say. This is how we've chosen. What they're really saying is that they see themselves as a god. That the one who made them isn't in charge of them anymore. The one who created them, the one who redeemed them isn't in charge of them anymore. I'm in charge of me, is really what they're saying. The way to heaven is not through the merits of Christ and his suffering and death and resurrection. The way to heaven is, I'm me and I deserve it. That's really what they're saying, whether they put it in those words or not. No, usually they shroud them in these phony slogans. We've all heard them. Whose body is it anyway? That's funny. Anyone ever, you've all heard that. Or another one, we don't need a piece of paper to say that we love each other, as though that's all marriage is. Or life's too short to miss out on the good stuff. It's really just saying eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we may die. And Paul quotes similar ones. He quotes the one, everything is permissible for me. You know, I can do this like with the kids. I've been freed from sin. I can have heaven even though I'm a sinner. Therefore, I conclude that that's the same as I'm free to sin. Not the same thing at all. And Sarah says, oh, who would ever do that? If you're on, who would ever give up heaven just to deny that I need forgiveness? Well, those who want the, you know, the pleasures of the flesh for a little while. Everything is permissible for me. That's like answering to myself. Or another one that Paul quotes, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. We hear that in this format nowadays. Well, we're born this way. And if we're born this way and we live this way, who can say that it's wrong? Yeah, but we were born sinners. And so if I'm going to live in slavery to sin, then that is good? It's really saying whatever is good. Now, all of these, of course, are distinctly non-Christian, anti-scriptural beliefs, inconsistent with the Christian faith. And so a person clinging to these ideas just is rejecting what the Bible says. And remember what I've said the last couple weeks. This is the theme that we run into over and over again. When people fall away from the Christian faith, it isn't like they're just rejecting the law. They do that. But they're also rejecting grace. They're rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting the fact that the way to heaven is through Christ's redeeming work, his the atonement at the terrible cost of his suffering and death and his blood. And instead they're saying that salvation is found some other way. That somehow we're good enough on our own that God would get us into heaven. That this becomes a license to sin. Well, that really is what it means to say that we are gods and belong to ourselves. The fact that God has made us is distasteful to the unbeliever caught up in the flesh. And, you know, it's sad to say I've seen it over and over again where people say, I know that's what the Bible says, but that isn't what I'm going to do. But on the other hand, to those who realize what Christ has done when he redeemed us, it's a joy and a delight to be awakened to the grace and mercy of God and realize that these sins no longer have any power over us. And of course, though we may fall into them from time to time, we do not live this way. That's not the conscious way that we live. And so Paul has an answer to the Corinthians and others who spout this pop philosophy. He says, everything is permissible for me, quoting it, but not everything is beneficial. Quotes it again, everything's permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I'm not going to make myself a slave again to this. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. And people who think the vices of the flesh our freedom will end up realizing they're mastered by them. You know, really, does the alcoholic who is a compulsive drunkard think he is free? Does a person enslaved to pornography so that they'll lose their job because they can't stop going through this stuff on their computer at work? I mean, do they really think that they're free? A people who live with somebody scared that they may just decide not to love them anymore and walk off and leave them, do they think that they're free? Hardly. And Paul goes on to one of the other ones, food for the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Just because a desire is natural, we're born that way, doesn't make it right. We're naturally born sinners. The body, and now this is an important thing, the body is not created to be a slave to the appetites. Do you understand that while the gift of immortality is yours in Jesus Christ, and this body, your body, will rise to everlasting life, the affections of hunger and desire are not part of that. They will be destroyed in death and replaced by far greater pleasures and far deeper joys in heaven. And think about this then. This is important. This is how we honor him, both body and soul. If we're not made to serve the vices of the flesh, what are we made for? We're made for something far greater. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We start out, you need to understand, we all need to understand that there's nothing wrong with our physical bodies as such. Adam and Eve were created perfect, holy, and sinless. God said it was very good, and they were human with a body. And God brought them together in marriage, and it was good, and they were counted sinless. The Holy God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was conceived and born as a human being. He still is true God and true man, body and soul, and he is holy. There is nothing about our bodies as such. It's the sin. Our bodies are good things. And so we realize that God deals with us in a very physical way. Jesus, according to his body and blood, comes to us in his Holy Supper, and with his body and blood, together with the bread and wine, he gives us the forgiveness of all of our sins. And think about our baptism. Not only does he wash our sins away and cleanse our soul, he pours water over our physical bodies and rinses us in the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So rather than despise our bodies, our Savior who redeemed us teaches us to treasure our bodies in ways that we never would have realized if it weren't revealed to us in the Scriptures. By his power, Paul writes, God raised the Lord from the dead. That's with his body. And will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. What an incredible blessing. We call it the mystical union, that God himself dwells with us when we become believers. And that's the beginning of something that comes to complete fullness in heaven. That's the beginning of something that continues in a life that lasts forever. This is the start of a life that reaches its fullness when Christ comes on the last day. This corruptible will be raised incorruptible. This mortal will be raised to immortality. So then how do we live as Christians? You see, the true view of who we are, totally inconsistent with this idea that we are our own gods, is it teaches us that to join this body destined for immortality with someone we're not married to is to profane what's good. It's to profane what's holy. To use this tongue that God has given us to praise him, to slander and to gossip and to destroy and to bully, is to misuse what he has given us. Misuse what he has made us. You know, he's bestowed ordinarily on our bodies the ability to share with him in the giving of new life. That's what sexuality is in many ways about. It's a blessing that's given to our ancestral parents, Adam and Eve, and it's cloaked in holiness. It's a good thing. And so this is what it means to be God's with an apostrophe S. We can honor him in our marriages and in our married sexuality, as well as any other good thing that we do according to their intended uses. And we can't help but see how different, as Christians, we see how different this is from the casual sexual immorality and other corruption of the day. And we can see why this is a truth that faith grasps, and why faith cannot help, why the believer cannot help every time we realize how we've fallen short of the proper use of our bodies. We cannot help but kneel in repentance and say, God, be merciful to us, to me. This isn't what you intended me to be. So that we live a life that does not profane or demean the bodies that are the tabernacle of God, the place where he dwells, that are destined for immortality. Paul sums it up in a fairly simple expression we do well to remember. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.